Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he taught them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Father, I want to thank you so much for these students and their parents. And as we stand before you tonight in leadership, again, as I said this morning, may you get the glory. Teach us your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Christ could have refused to answer this request of his disciples and simply commented that prayer is a spiritual matter requiring no consideration of what will be necessary or happen in the future at all. But the Lord was well aware of how self-centered and aimless prayer can be sometimes. Have you ever felt like that? That prayer was kind of self-centered, you kind of praying for yourself, and you knew that. You knew you were praying just for yourself because the Holy Spirit kind of brought that conviction on you. Or maybe it was an aimless prayer. See, Jesus' disciples, they had been watching Jesus as he prays. All throughout the Gospels, there's various times where Jesus, he would go away early in the morning. The disciples would wake up and Jesus would nowhere to be found. And then here he comes hours later and they're like, where have you been? And he's been in the presence of the Lord praying. Even before the sun came up, he would be praying. Several times the disciples saw this, and this is something that they wanted to experience in their own life. Maybe they wanted to experience a more intimate relationship with God. As Christians' disciples, we should have the same desire to learn this perfect model. So how should we pray? Well, first we need to acknowledge who we are praying to. Look at the word Father. This familiar term, daddy or papa, reflects Jesus' intimacy with the Father. His revealing this to his followers also encourages our intimacy, our close relationship with the Father. If you're a child of God, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have a close friendship with Jesus Christ, with God. See, when we were lost and we didn't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there was a separation. You know this. You're here. God's here, and there's a separation because of our sin. But when we accepted Jesus Christ, he bridged the gap, and we become friends of God. This intimate relationship grows by spending time with him in his word and in conversation with him daily. Jesus modeled this all throughout the Gospels, through his practice and through his teaching. Hallowed be your name comes from the root, be holy. Our God is holy, and he is set apart from all sin. James even says that Jesus cannot be tempted, nor can he tempt. He's set apart completely from sin. This hallowed be your name is more of a request that God's name would be honored and treated with reverence. This is not as much a petition here as it is an act of worship. Do you get that? By us acknowledging God as holy and Lord over our lives, we are worshiping him. When you realize, as I said this morning and said again tonight, when you realize that it's not about you, but it's all about him, you are honoring him and you are glorifying him through that worship and prayer. That's why it's so important, why prayer is so important, but when we go to God, that we make sure we understand who we're praying to. This is a holy God. A God that can't mess up like you can mess up. He can't make mistakes like you and I can make mistakes. He is set apart from sin. If we really believe that we are speaking to the sovereign Lord of the universe who spoke and the world was created, then our prayers will be more God-centered than self-centered, as we saw in the skit a second ago. But there are so many people who pray to a God that they don't even know. Do you realize that? You have friends and family, and I have friends and family that are praying to a God that they do not know. You've heard my story. I went to Victory Free Will, Vacation Bible Schools, went with aunt and uncles, and I heard all the stories about Jesus. One of the things that I heard that stuck with me all throughout my wild teenage lives was how important it was to pray before you went to bed at night. When I started drinking and doing drugs and partying and those things that I did, every night before I went to bed, guess what I did? I prayed. Why? Because I was supposed to. That's what I was told to do. I saw that as important. Now, this is what I want you to get. Just because you pray before you go to bed at night doesn't mean that you are praying to God. Because you got to first know God before you can pray to God. And there were years and years and years that I didn't know who I was praying to. So we got to know who we're praying to. Because all those prayers were about me, not wanting to feel bad for the things that I've done. But so many people are praying to a God that they don't know, or they're praying in a self-centered way, as we saw a second ago. Like, give me, give me, give me. Help me, help me, help me. Protect me, protect me, protect me. Like, we have the right to tell God to give us anything. You realize that? I have no right to tell God to give me anything. Because of my sin, I deserve worse than His blessings. But as Christians, we can ask. But we ask God in the right way. See, this is one thing that I think a lot of Christians forget. God knows what you need and I need even before we ask. Listen to what Matthew 6:8 says. For your Father knows what you need even before you ask. You have a prayer request? You don't know how to pray? Just pray, because God already knows what you need. Well, if God already knows what I need, why do I need to pray to Him? Well, when you pray to God, what are you doing? You're showing God that you're acknowledging that He is holy. God can just tell you what it is if He wants to. But by you going to the Father and asking and waiting for Him to give that to you, you're showing that He is the Lord. He has answer and you don't. Jesus' how-tos on prayer. Verse 3 talks about the daily bread. Basically, this is prayer for things that are needed for the body and for the spirit. I'm going to explain it this way. Every day in our life, we need food to live, right? Food, water, those things. But Jesus said that man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by what? Every word of God. So you got two breads there. You got the physical bread that we need for our body, but then you got the spiritual bread that we need to live in our life. So the first thing that we need to pray for is things needed for the body and for the spirit. We are not to be anxious for anything. We're not to worry about when is God going to give this to me? I mean, there's times in mine and Susan's life where there were bills that needed to be paid, and we had no idea. And what the Bible says is ask God and don't worry about it. It's hard to do sometimes. That's why, secondly, the how-tos of prayer is to trust God constantly that He will provide for you on a daily basis. God will take care of your needs. Thirdly, submit to God and trust in His will. We talked about submit, kind of like surrender. It's just basically throwing up the white flag and realizing that you can't do it anymore. You can't do it anymore, and God has to take control. But submit to God and trust in His will. Well, what is God's will? Well, the best definition that I've ever heard of God's will is this: glorify Him. So many people are trying to figure out what God's will for their life is. A lot of times I think what they're trying to figure out is what God's plan is for their life. All of us have different plans. God has a different plan for Andy's life. He has a different plan for Kevin's life. He has a different plan for Roger's life. He has a different plan for Nancy's life, Ben's life, Gail's life, Lenny's life, and my life. But as Christians, God's will is the same for all of our lives as Christians. It's to glorify Him. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, if you're a believer, you glorify Him. How do you glorify God? It's all about Him and it's not about you. When you're doing something, you're doing it that God's going to get the glory, not you. That's where humbling yourself comes in. It's a hard thing to do because we're prideful people. I'm glad this morning went well, but I try to stay away from a lot of y'all because I get a big head sometimes. I didn't want people patting me on the back. I really didn't. I mean, my used to years ago, I would preach and I'd be standing at the door. I think we was in Pleasant Hill in Gordo, and people would come by and say, "Good job," and I say, "It was all about Him, all about Him." My wife said, "You got to start taking some credit, you know." But I feel bad taking credit. I do, because I'm telling you, I know how sinful I can be, you know, as a fleshly person. And I don't want to do that in my life. So it's good to take that credit, but at the same time, we need to realize who it's about. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Going on, we need to ask for forgiveness. And we'll go back to a scripture that I read this morning, Colossians 3:12 through 13. I close with this. You remember this. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Listen to this, 13, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And then lastly, for protection against falling into sin. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.